In the barony of Castakin, evil is rising. Creatures born of mud, stone, and bone have appeared. Politics keep the powers that be from taking action against this threat. The barony needs heroes. In the far-off hamlet of Hovel's Way, two childhood friends, bound by dreaming stars, may be the heroes that the barony needs. This is their story. The story of the heroes of Hovel's Way. Odin Dahlia Celestine is played by Angela Murray.
And she's holding up a thumb as she's trying to scrape the mud off of herself.
Aramon Durant is played by Jared Rasher.
I don't like having loose ends.
And the Dungeon Master is Chris Snezak.
But you're very aware that there are unique slurgs.
Money is like going to look at his glowing claws and just... All Aramon is going to hear is this weird little chitter noise, but Odie knows he's giggling.
Now, we begin.
At the back of the brewery. You guys are in the brewery.
And we know that the Baroness is in danger.
Maybe. You are running towards her, though.
We got Kaelin out of the vat of beer.
Fermenting beer. He was being drowned.
Made sure he's alive.
He is. He's pretty messed up, though. Like, he's like, oh, God, this is the worst day of my life. Poor Kaelin.
I gave him a good berry.
Yes. You did. Because he was, you know, dead. Like, drowning at zero hit points.
Yeah.
You know, he got the mean beer fermented liquid out of his lungs, shoved a good berry down his throat. He's fine. He's fine, I guess. He's probably scarred for life, but he's fine. Ale never tastes the same to him again. So is your plan to chase this guy?
Oh, definitely. That's what Aramon is thinking.
So you start chasing Oliver out into the night. In tracking him, he went towards the river. When you get to the river, you find him, except he's dead on the ground.
Like, and these are definitely recent tracks from just now from him running away from us.
Yep. When you get to him, he hasn't been dead for more than a couple minutes, maybe.
I'll check the body out.
It is caked with mud. And he's got mud in his mouth, down his throat, coming out of his nose.
Hey, Aramon, remember those mud things we fought back home?
Yes.
They were trying to get in our mouths, too.
Yes, and our small clothes.
Yes.
It was very uncomfortable.
I wonder if this is what would have happened to us if we had failed. But we still need to check on the Baroness.
Yes, but give me 1 second. And Aramon is just going to kind of look around the area and fall back into almost, I would say, almost like daydreaming. But, you know, kind of remembering what those things were like. And I would like to use my divine sense to see if I can detect anything within the within about 60 feet of where we're at, just in case any of these things are still lurking out there.
There is nothing lurking within 60 feet, but feel free to make a perception check. Your divine sense giving you positioning, fictional positioning to do this.
All right, that is a 15.
Good roll. It looks like someone came out of the river. There's like muddy tracks leading that way, right up to Oliver. It looks like Oliver stopped, and this person stopped too, and then there was a sign of a struggle, and then the muddy person walked into the town somewhere, and then the mud stops about 30 feet as they're walking towards the town of Crossing.
I will call Odie over and walk her through this chain of events and point out where I feel that things are starting and where they go to.
How does your divine sense reveal this mud?
I think especially since I feel like all of the supernatural things that I can do are connected to the Dreaming Veil. It's almost like seeing something wispy superimposed over what's actually there.
That makes sense. Odie, I forget. Are you trained in Arcana?
Yes, I am.
Can you give me an Arcana check? This is a knowledge Arcana check. So, because of all the books that you've read.
I got a 17.
Very nice. This is a slurg of some sort, but you're very aware that there are unique slurgs. So these mud and rock creatures, sometimes a more powerful one arises and they have more unique abilities. You're not sure exactly what kind of unique slurg this is because they're all different, but based on the fact that it came out of the lake and then it stopped being muddy at one point in time and kind of vanished. It either flew away or shape changed or something.
I'm going to ask Monty if he can follow like the smell.
I don't smell anything after this spot right okay. here. I can smell the mud. I can smell it. It smells a little weird, like a little fishy. And then it stops right here.
Okay.
And all Aramon hears is...
I trust that he is telling you something worthwhile.
That he can't smell it after here, that it was fishy up until this spot right here, and then it stops. So, yeah, it either completely changed form completely with a different smell, because usually even if you're just doing a superficial change, you'd still smell the same. Or it flew away, which would still mean shape changing, wouldn't it?
I would think so.
Either way, I'm worried about the Baroness.
Yes. That was our original objective. We kind of got sidetracked here because we now know that this person is dead.
Well, I mean, Oliver was asking us to kill the Baroness.
Yes. And this night just continues to get more and more complicated. I think we definitely need to check in on her.
Do you head to the Baroness?
Yep.
You head over to the Rustway Inn. You make your way up to the Baroness's rooms, and she is there. She is fine. She looks at the two of you. Everything okay? Where's Robin and Emma?
I don't remember why Robin and Emma weren't with us.
Well, you two ran out of the place. They might have been helping Callan.
Okay.
We may have outpaced them because we were worried about your safety.
Why would you be worried about my safety? What is happening?
Well, we ran into a man who was specifically trying to have you killed, and he got away from us, and then we found his dead body, so we wanted to make sure that no other foul deeds were afoot connected to that particular chain of events.
Well, he was a man who could turn into shadow.
I forgot that part. I am sorry.
I mean, you didn't forget that part, but he was a man who could turn into shadow, and then when he ran away from us and we tracked him down, we found him dead. But there was also obviously signs of a struggle with some sort of mud creature that was most likely a slurg, but a special kind of slurg. And then we tried to follow that, but its trail disappeared, which means it probably changed form, which is really, really concerning. But we still were concerned since Oliver's original mission was to kill you.
Baroness Castakin takes that in. She nods. She doesn't seem very disturbed about somebody trying to kill her, almost like it's a normal part of her life. But when you mention that Oliver could turn into shadow, she seems a little taken back by that. Her eyes get a little wide. Well, I'm glad that you stopped, or at least helped stop, the man that was trying to kill me. I appreciate that. The fact that he can turn into shadow is a bit disturbing.
Have you heard of something like this before?
Do I know of the slurg? Yes. Siobhan has explained to me that these creatures exist in the world. The shadow-changing man? Those are generally servants of Odvec, the Golem of Chaos and Darkness, another of the Titans.
That is a disturbing development.
That another of the Titans' minions are involved? Yes, I agree.
Seems like we are definitely moving beyond political machinations and going into, say, supernatural shenanigans. Just does not sound as have as much gravitas as what I want to use here. But yes, that is exactly what I am afraid of.
She nods. It still could be politically motivated. A lot of these earls and barons and nobles track with these titans for power. Although this slurg issue seems to be more localized, I don't believe it has anything to do with the outside nobles of the region.
It definitely did sound political in that this Oliver was trying to, you know, employ bandits to destabilize things. And then, since you presented an opportunity by showing up, it would be even better for him to kill you. But the whole shadow thing and more was concerning.
Yes, I agree. And also, this Oliver Blair, if I was informed correctly, is a member, or at least used to be a member, of the Brookshire's House Guard or Army, their standing forces. I'm sure if I asked the Brookshire's or sent a letter, they would say that he had defected or deserted. But that's how that goes. Though you did a good job. I commend you both. I assume you told her the whole story of what happened?
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
So you stopped the bandits, they shouldn't be a problem anymore, and you saved a few people's lives. Very good job.
I don't like having loose ends.
I don't either, but it seems to be a regular occurrence in my life.
I apologize, we couldn't end this more definitively.
And you stopped the bandits, didn't you?
Have you heard from the others that went to the island?
There's a knock on the door. With that, they come in. Now you're all there. A bunch of people. And Robin and Emma return shortly thereafter. A bit of time passes and you catch up and you find out that it seemed that Slurg were trying to utilize the body of the hero and turn it into something powerful that they could use. That seemed to be the plan. They're not 100% sure because talking to Slurg is rather difficult, but there was a struggle by the spirit of the former hero, Yosef Kallen. He did not want to be corrupted. Apparently, it's very difficult for the Slurg to corrupt more willful spirits and bodies. And with him resisting, they managed to put him back to rest and defeat the Slurg that were out there.
I'm quite disturbed at the uptick in all of this activity together.
I agree. It is why I am out here, says the Baroness. Trying to find out what's going on, trying to have my people look into it. It's one of the reasons why I recruited the two of you. With that said, there is one more thing I would like us to look into before we completely depart. Unfortunately, me and some of the folks with me have to leave tomorrow, but there is that island that has appeared. I was wondering, and she looks at the two of you, Odie and Aramon, could you go to the island and discover what is going on with it? What is happening there? This is all too coincidental to not be tied in, I would imagine.
I would love for her to provide some more answers, so I will definitely be ready to do this for you.
We can go.
Will you two be okay by yourselves?
I look at Aramon.
We will be okay. We do well together.
When you are done there, please come to Nux. That's where I am going next to see what's happening there. Nux is a town that is south on the roundabout road.
Kind of the next town on the route.
Yep.
Odie, do you remember that time we went fishing and we got the fishing line tangled up? And then the fishing line got tangled into the fence. And then we had this giant web of fishing line and fence and hooks.
Yeah, we got yelled at for that.
Yes, and that's what all of this feels like in my head. I need to clear some fishing line out.
I mean, okay.
If you have nothing that you want to do for the rest of the evening, we can move on to the next day.
There is one thing that Aramon, when the Baroness mentions that some of us will have to move on, he does kind of look over at Robin to see if she's going to be leaving and they're not going to be in the same group anymore for a while.
She shrugs at you. It's the way it is. That's what she mouths at you. Work first.
As soon as she actually mouths something to him, he gets embarrassed that he was looking at her and she could read him that easily.
She gives you a smile.
His cheeks get red.
I will say at some point later, while you're having dinner or whatever that evening, Emma comes over to you, Odie.
Mm-hmm.
She sits down next. She's like, I'm sorry. I'm a little embarrassed that I said what I said when you transformed. I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable.
Nobody's ever called me beautiful before. So I was kind of like surprised, but it's okay. You didn't, I mean, it was, Did you really think that? Or was it just because I was glowing? Because I was really glowing.
No, you are very pretty. The glow just accentuated it a little bit. That's all. I'd never seen anything like it.
Oh, he's like sitting there and it's like obvious the wheels are turning. The wheels are turning.
She's also in awe of you at the moment. Maybe you don't recognize that. I'm not sure. That's your choice.
I don't think Odie would recognize that. I think she's just trying to, in her own awkward way, try and figure this out, and it's does not compute.
Yeah, there's a camera shot of Conklin like sitting at the bar watching this happening, just shaking his head like, oh, kids. We move on to the next day then. The carriage and the caravan, along with Emma and Robin, Vilhava, George, Maximus, Conklin, and Juliet Somner, and Jeremy Kripke, the other knights that were out doing work, they all hop on the carriage and horses and they make their way toward Nux, Graves Lakeshire. The Baroness paid him to take you all to the island.
Excellent. Odie will lean over to Aramon like, this is better than us having to row ourselves out there.
It is much better than that, yes.
So you two ready to go?
I think so.
I believe so, yes.
Feel free to board the ship.
Aye, aye, Captain.
You step onto the Raker's Wave. It's a fishing vessel, but it's well-maintained, solid ship. Been a bit beat up lately, but he's patched it up. He's got a couple of members on his crew. One of them introduced themselves as Amali, and the other one as Jensen.
It is good to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Molly is a short, redheaded woman. She has obviously worked on boats her entire life. She's got that seaman's look to her. Jensen's a little younger, somewhere in the late teens, early 20s. Looks a little new at this job as he's tying ropes off and doing what he can, struggling a little bit. And you see that Molly's giving him pointers as we go. Jensen's a big boy, though, a little over 6 feet tall, kind of lengthy.
I look over at Odie and say, all right, because I am not good at this, do you think he is older or younger than me?
Odie will look him over, and she'll look Aramon over. She'll look him over. He's probably older.
I don't understand that. I feel like I'm an old soul.
I mean, yeah, but you still got a baby face.
But I grew this in, and he touches his goatee.
It's a nice little shock of hair that he's got there, the same color as his, as the hair on his head. Monty leans into you, Odie. Does it matter if he's older or not? Or is he just, like, curious because he's, you know, really bad at figuring out how old people are?
I think it matters to him.
It's a weird thing to matter, right?
Yeah, I mean, it matters to some people. You've watched, I mean, maybe you haven't watched, but people around town, some of the older people don't listen to the younger people, even if the younger people are right, just because they don't think they are.
Huh, never really noticed. I just care if they give me food or not.
And sometimes younger people listen to older people who are wrong, but they listen just because they're older.
Yeah, I mean, I just find that the really old people are more willing to give me food as are the really young people because they think I'm cute.
Well, I mean, you are cute.
I mean, I know. I just try to use it to my advantage to get food. Why am I telling you this? You're going to lock me in my bag because I eat too much. You keep telling me that. Can I have a berry?
Here, have a berry.
Yes, yes. He just starts nibbling. The boat sails out onto the silt sand lake. It's a beautiful day. Sun's out. Only a few clouds in the sky. Nice little bit of a breeze that catches the sails on this moderately sized fishing vessel. Well, while we're out here, might as well get some work done. You two, drop the nets. We'll trawl for fish while we're going. So they drop some nets off the side as you're sailing out to the lake. They haul up some fish. Decent catch. Not great, not terrible. Eventually you come to the island. It is not very big. You can see to the other side of it when you approach. It's mostly rock, and there's some sort of stone structure sticking up on top of it. A plinth or a menhir of some sort. Weird island up here. I don't know where it came from. Also thought I saw some sort of mud creature on it one night.
How long has it been here? When did it appear?
About 2 weeks ago.
My father has talked about, you know, sometimes when water recedes and there used to be a lake and then all of a sudden there's land there. But I feel like if that were the case, one, there would be less water here. And two, there would not be a structure built on top of it.
I would agree with you. It's very odd. That's what you're saying, right? It's very odd.
Yes. Yes.
You could have just said it was very odd, but I appreciate the story about your dad. He pulls up as close as he can. You guys might have to jump into the water and swim a little bit to get there because there's like rocks and stuff around it that he might not be able to get at. He's been using an oar to poke down as they've been sailing and also using his eyes because he's a pretty good sailor. There's rocks around it. I don't want to get too close. I hope you guys don't mind.
No, that's not a problem.
Okay.
Because it is kind of like wet and muddy, I am not going to be wearing my chainmail.
Sure. What do you do with it? Just throw it in your bag?
Yeah, I pack it up very neat and very nice.
If we're close enough, what we can do is have Aramon go down first, get to the shore, and Odie or one of the sailors can throw him the bag so the stuff can stay dry and the bag won't get wet, and then Odie can follow.
That's a good idea. That's what you do.
Also, Aramon does the full Hemsworth here. He has no shirt on as he is getting ready to swim to the aisle.
When you do that, Molly can't help but just like look you up and down. Odie, you obviously notice her just like staring at the very attractive Aramon. Then she looks at you and she gives you a bit of a thumb up.
He's attractive, but he's Aramon.
So she looks at you. She's like, huh, not interested, huh? Good. Are you guys like brother, sister?
Not by blood. I mean, he's pretty.
He is pretty. He's very pretty to look at.
He is. He's kind of got a thing for somebody, though.
Sure. Makes sense.
And I think she has a thing for him, but neither of them know what to do with that.
She nudges. She's like, no, it's good to have friends.
Yeah. Okay, I gotta go get wet.
Bye. Not awkward at all. Good job. So you guys get to the island, no problem. You're a little wet, but whatever, you dry off pretty quickly. Throw your armor on. You're on this island. It's not very big, like I said. There is like this stone structure there. It's just a rock jutting out, but it doesn't look like the rest of the island. Something built it. It's been crafted.
Kind of get dried off a little bit first. Get the lay of the land. Figure out how far. I mean, like, I'm assuming that our ride isn't going too far away as he's fishing.
Yeah, he said he's just going to make his way around this. He's going to stay here until, you know, at least 3 or 4 hours.
But, you know, how far are we from the shore?
About 20 feet, 25 feet. It wasn't too far that you had to go.
No, I meant how far are we from crossing, like the beach?
Oh, that's a good, like, 10 hours.
Oh, that was like 10 hours on the boat?
Yeah, this is a long way out, right? Like,
okay, so this is like the next day.
It's not the next day, but it's, you know, if you got on the ship at like 8, 9 in the morning, it's like 5 in the evening.
Okay.
5, 6 in the evening. The sun's still up. It's fall, but it's not like deep into fall. It's like 7, like the sun sets at like 7, 8 if there was a clock.
Okay.
I mean, we're getting close on to dusk. He doesn't mind being out here at night. He's pretty good at this. Okay. I mean, he's more concerned because of the slurg lately.
Yeah, I was more concerned about going to the island when it's going to be getting dark.
Sure, it's not dark yet. You got a few hours of daylight. And like I said, this island's not very big. I mean, you can walk from one side of it to the other in like 2 or 3 minutes. Like, okay. It's just a jut of rock actually sticking out.
Okay.
I don't want to, like, you know, move 5 feet and do this and move 5 feet and do this, but I kind of want to go to the center of, you know, where the, you know, the rock structure is at, and in the very center, mm-hmm. do my divine sense and just kind of like slowly turn around in a circle to see if I see anything.
Give me a perception check. This perception check is made possible by the fact that you can use divine sense.
You're very consistent.
I got a 15 again.
So there's remnants of mud on this island that is however it appeared to you before on the shore, similarly appears to you here. It came out of the water, went up to the stone, and then stops.
I think there's just like a kind of a hint of a wisp of what the slurgs are shaped like when I, you know, look at the mud that's there. And I turn around, and the other thing that's funny is as I'm looking around, Odie, you can see, like, I am looking very intently, but my eyes are like half closed because I'm using sight beyond sight.
You are, in fact, using sight beyond sight.
And I will just tell Odie, there's definitely something that came up here.
While he's doing that, Odie, what are you up to?
Doing a slight perimeter walk around him, checking out the area, like getting a better look at the structure without going into it without Aramon's.
Yeah, give me an arcana check.
I got a 10.
There are, on the stone structure in the middle itself, as you're walking the perimeter, but you're also looking around. The perimeter around, this is worn down over the course of time, but it looks like somebody used magic to shape this stone.
Here's a question. There is a difference between the weathering of rock due to air and wind and rain and the weathering of rock due to water, being submerged in water and the currents of water. Does this look like something that has been submerged for a very long time and is now just resurfaced? Or is this something that looks like it was weathered by air and wind and rain?
Give me a nature check.
I can. I got a 12.
From what you can tell, it looks like it's been weathered by water. It's been underground. It's been underwater for a long time, okay, and has recently surfaced. But that's with a 12. Maybe a higher roll would have given you more information, but mm-hmm. you're not sure. To go along with that arcana check, there are symbols, arcane symbols, inscribed in the stone. Not on the ground necessarily, but on that stone in the middle.
I assume she would wait until Aramon is done doing his thing before she does this, but I would like to cast Detect Magic as a ritual.
Sure. So you take 10 minutes, you cast Detect Magic. We are going to play Detect Magic a little bit differently. I'm going to tell you what you see that like glows magically without like schools of magic, because I'm not like a school of magic guy.
That makes sense.
But I will tell you information. Especially this world isn't really a school of magic kind of world.
And this is more, I'm intending this more to be sensing, you know, using it to open up my senses to the magical energies rather than locate this one thing and tell me if it's magical.
This whole island that you're standing on glows faintly. The stone that sticks out, ruins start lighting up around it. They are prismatically glowing. There is a shape of a door around where the runes are. But this whole island is faintly glowing of magic that is rippling through it.
As her eyes are still glowing from casting this ritual spell, she's going to pull out her journal and start sketching the runes so she remembers what they look like.
Yeah, you recognize them as being from your studies with Noelle. They are Zithian in nature.
I'm going to tell Aramon, it looks like they form a door.
So you're saying there's a door here?
If we did the magic the right way, there'd be a door.
Aramon reaches his hand out like as if there is a door handle. Am I near the door handle?
No.
I'm not sure how this works.
It's because you're not that kind of magic.
Until recently, I didn't realize I was magic at all.
You've always been magic, just not this kind of magic.
I appreciate that.
What would you like to do?
Can I figure out what the runes are saying?
No.
Or what the instructions are or anything like that?
You can probably open the door. You can see the door, so you can you know, try to open it.
Then I will attempt to open it.
Go ahead. Give me an arcana check. I will tell you that the stakes are you will open the door regardless, but if you mess this up, you will get some sort of magical backlash.
Gotcha. I got a 7.
Yeah, so you touch a few runes thinking that it's some sort of combination lock. When you touch them, they start lighting up blue and then blue and then blue, and then you touch one and it turns red. And when it turns red, it zaps into your arm like a magical backlash, just boom, and it blasts you backwards a good 15 feet, knocking you onto the ground.
Oof.
Are you okay, Odie?
I see stars, but not like I normally see stars.
I was just about to say, don't you normally see stars?
You take 2 points of force damage.
Ow.
With that, you realize what the correct combination is, and you punch it in, and the door slides open. And it does. It slides open, almost melting into the stone next to it.
Is the piece of stone big enough for the door to, like, fully retract inside, or does it just feel like it's melting away for us to come inside?
Melting away for you to go inside. There's stairs that go down.
I have no idea if this will do anything, and I suspect it won't, but Aramon is going to grab, if he can find a stick somewhere, and he's going to put it in the corner of the door frame.
Sure. Actually, no, there's no stick out here. You're in the middle of the lake.
I will grab my dueling stick that I use.
Sure thing. Not a problem. You could totally do that. And there's the stairs that go down.
I tell Monty, I'm sorry, we will not be able to fence for a while.
He's like, that's okay. I don't think I'm going to need it.
Well, I suppose we should, I mean, the answer is going to be down there.
Yes.
Which means we should go down there.
Yes. Are you feeling all right? Do you need anything patched up? Is anything like sharp pains anywhere?
No, just my pride.
All right. I don't think I can heal pride.
I really got some air with that, though, didn't I?
You did. It was quite impressive. Do you remember that time that the horse kicked that person that came into town, and we warned them that that is not the horse you should be standing behind, and they stood behind it anyway?
Oh, yeah.
It was like that, except, you know, there was no horse kicking you.
Yeah, no horse manure. That's a good thing. Okay, we're going to need some light. I mean, I can glow, but not for as long as I think we're going to need light.
By the way, I picture that it's just the two of you and Monty. Like, either on your shoulder or in your bag. You're standing here looking at this doorway, and these stairs going down into darkness. And you got a stick in the middle of the door, and you're just staring at it. That's what I picture in my mind.
I have no problem doing the old school lighting up a torch.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to.
I will have a torch in one hand.
And I reach out and light it.
Whoosh.
Nice.
I can do that with Druidcraft. I just can't make...
Light.
I have to have something to set on fire.
So do you just touch it, or do you like snap your fingers, or how does it work?
As he pulls it out and starts fumbling around for a flint and stone to light it, she's just going to reach out, wrap her hand around it, and as she pulls her hand away, it lights on fire.
Oh, neat. All right. Who's going down first?
I think I should go down first in case something comes up, but also I worry that something will come up behind you, but I can't be both places at once.
I mean, there's nothing behind us but water and maybe a slurg, but that's okay because we'll be fine. Monty can look behind me.
Yep, I'll do that.
Monty will warn me if anybody's coming from behind. You go from the front, I'll hold the torch.
You start walking down the stairs. The mud from whatever walked up to the stone, it got inside. And it walked about 6 steps down, and then it disappears. Very much like it did on the shore of crossing.
Huh.
Once you get 8 steps down, lines of light start appearing on the walls and the ceilings and the steps. They flicker in blues and purples, and they illuminate the stairwell going down.
You think these mud things, like, we're thinking about them turning into something or growing wings or things like that. What if they do, like, you know, like a mud puddle in summer, what it does, where it gets all shimmery and disappears? Evaporate.
I don't think that one evaporated. It takes too long for something like that to evaporate. But the one that I sensed back on the shore and crossing was special. Like, it wasn't a normal slurg.
You could reasonably, based on what you've just seen, assume that this is similar to that, potentially even the same slurg. You continue down the steps. You get to the bottom, and you find yourself in a room. And the lights spread out around this room on the walls. The place is well lit. There is a door on the eastern wall. It is slightly ajar. In the room, there are pegs on the walls. There is old stone furniture that looks like it had upholstery on it at one point in time, but that is worn away with the passage of time. It's also very dry in here. None of the water from outside has seeped into this room, as far as you can tell. There are even a few tables and a bookshelf, but there is nothing on them anymore.
Aramon is definitely the type of person that needs to see how comfortable a chair is when he sees it. So I am going to attempt to sit down and see what it feels like to sit in the chair.
When you sit in the chair, the stone chair molds itself to you, and it's very comfortable.
This is the least comfortable I've been when I've been comfortable before.
Odie's walking over to the bookshelf and looking at the remnants of whatever might have been there.
Somebody took something off of it recently. There is a little bit of dust around it, and then you can see where there were at least a dozen books, but they're now gone. This is recent.
Somebody had books. Somebody has books.
What would you like to do?
Someone went through that door without closing it all the way, which my father would be very upset about because he used to talk to me about that all the time.
It leaves a draft, Aramon. You must close the doors.
You sound exactly like him.
Of course I do. Now, Aramon, we should continue on because I do not think there is anything of importance in this room other than the signs that somebody was here before us.
Yes, sir. Right away, sir. I will walk over to the door and push it open to see what's in the next room.
You open this door, and it's brighter in this room. In the middle of the room is a three-dimensional crystal latticework that has been broken in a number of places, probably like 12 dozen. This crystal latticework is 10 feet on a side and goes 10 feet up. There are other crystals that were around it. The magic is flowing from those lines that were around the room into it. They're coming from deeper in the complex too. It seems like everything is coming to this room and to this latticework of crystal. Where it's broken, magic is like arcing around. It is elemental in nature as far as you can tell. You'd have to like get closer and examine it, but that could be dangerous in order to find out more about it.
Yeah, Odie is probably going to push past Aramon and go into the room and start checking out the latticework and the leaking magic.
What kind of check would you like to make? You can make an arcana check if you want. Once again, the stakes are you could be damaged by the arcing magic as you're trying to inspect it.
That's a little better. I got a 13.
This is a very complex warding spell. That's what you get from it.
Do I get the feeling that it's warding protection or warding this place?
It's warding part of a prison. It's keeping something locked down.
Aramon?
Yes?
I think this might be a prison. I think this was keeping something here.
Well, does that mean that our muddy friends came from this place? Or do you think it's something else?
My gut tells me that our muddy not friends are something that's been awakened by whatever was here or is here. Do I get the feeling that like somebody deliberately smashed some of this?
Yes, very much so. Also, the doors to the south and the door on the eastern wall, there are scorch marks on them as if somebody tried to maybe open them and then was denied by something warding those doors.
Do either door look like they've been opened, like somebody tried to blast their way through and then smashed the crystals and got through?
You can walk over there and you know, inspect them and see what's up with them. It would be an arcana check. You could also use detect magic to give yourself advantage on it.
Yeah, I will take the time, do the detect magic, and then go over and check. That's actually going to be a 17.
Let me ask Aramon, what are you doing while Odie is doing that? It takes 10 minutes to cast that spell.
I'm going to keep staring at the latticework and then kind of looking back and forth at the doors. He is working through in his head what has occurred to him about this place, but he doesn't trust it and he doesn't want to interrupt Odie with it first. So he's kind of like talking to himself about, this is a prison. Put people in the prison. Prison is beneath the water, but now the prison is... And he's just kind of like going through his head, like talking to himself, trying to figure all of this out while he's kind of looking back and forth between the doors and the lattice.
Give me a perception check.
Right.
Give me one for Monty too.
Yes.
That is a 2 from Aramon.
Monty gets a 20.
That's really good for Aramon, actually. Odie, you're working on that ritual, Aramon. You're looking around, pondering all this stuff. All of a sudden, Monty jumps off of Odie's shoulder and runs right at you and jumps on you as a muddy spike comes off of the wall and tries to impale you. He knocks you out of the way of it. And then two Slurg appear. They were meshed into the wall, looking like the wall, and come off the wall and try to kill you. I think you should roll for initiative.
You just got a raccoon to the face.
Did.
Luckily, without the claws out. Shall I roll initiative separately for Monty?
You should, yes. He has his own scores.
And Monty gets a 20 again.
He's going to get to go first.
Not natural, but...
As soon as Aramon sees that, he's going to look over at Odie as if this will mean something and say, Wall Slurgs!
Monty gets to go first. What does Monty want to do?
Monty, since he is already on Aramon, is going to give Aramon the help action, which means he's going to be kind of on Aramon's shoulder, kind of swiping and distracting the Slurg that Aramon attacks.
Sounds good. Aramon, what do you want to do?
Well, I'm going to take Monty's advice because we have sparred many times in the past, so he's familiar with my style. And I am going to swing two-handed at the nearest Slurg and see if I can turn it into a mud puddle. That is a 19, swinging two-handed.
You will strike the Slurg.
That is 3 slashing. I don't think at this point he is quite as reliable about being able to just smite on command. And this doesn't feel like a shadow creature that, you know, needs to be smote. So I don't think that quite emphasizes that in him quite as much.
So the mud Slurg that is attached to the wall, it tries to stab out at you, making its arm or its body a little bit more pointy as it drives a knife into you, and Monty knocks you out of the way. Then you turn around, Monty pointing it out and then swinging at it as it's trying to kill you. You take your sword, you slash into the wall. There's like sparks coming off the wall. You cut into the Slurg that's still attached to the wall a little bit. And of course, it's made of mud, so you don't hurt it nearly as much as you think you do. Odie, what do you do? There is a second Slurg, too, on the wall. You can see it now as it's rippling across of it, across the wall, coming towards you. It's actually coming across the ceiling at you.
I will run over and touch Monty to cast Monty's Starlight Claws on him.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I have this sense I can help him, and his little claws start glowing.
They do, with starlight.
And then I turn around and I cast Guiding Bolt on the one coming across the ceiling at me. And I do not hit.
Yeah, it blasts into the ceiling. The Slurg, like, dodges out of the way.
I mean, technically, if you use one of your bonus Guiding Bolts, at least you wouldn't lose a spell slot.
That's true.
Oh, that's right, true.
The Slurg on the ceiling, it just tries to drop down on top of you, Odie. Make a dexterity saving throw. The DC is 13.
No.
A bunch of mud falls on top of you and starts engulfing you. It's really hard for you to breathe. You don't feel great.
Ah!
The other one just tries to stab you, Aramon. I don't think a 14 hits you.
Not since I put my armor back on. Also, I am cursing under my breath that the mud is not more like an attack that I could, say, intercept instead of just dropping on her because I can't do anything if it's not an attack.
It's brutal. They're done. It's Monty's turn.
Monty is, like, gonna look at his glowing claws and just... All Aramon is going to hear is this weird little chitter noise, but Odie knows he's giggling. And he is going to attack the one that is closest to him, which is probably the one on Aramon.
He's not going to help you?
He will, but he's going to attack the one that's closest to him first.
Okay.
Oh, he's going to miss. He got a 7.
He is. That's okay, though. He misses the slur. He doesn't really hit him.
But he's going to disengage as a bonus action and come over to Odie.
Sure thing. You okay in there? Can you breathe? Are you all right? Aramon, you were up.
Oh.
These claws are amazing.
Odie, are you okay if I don't get you out of the mud?
And she's holding up a thumb as she's trying to scrape the mud off of herself.
Nah, I'll keep fighting the one that I already injured. And I will swing back around at it, trying to find a more solid mass in all of the mud to drive the sword into. That is a 21.
It strikes.
That is 5 slashing, but because my friend is injured, now I think he is going to burn a spell slot and have that smite flare up almost involuntarily because Odie is in danger.
Sure thing.
And that is 6 additional points of radiant damage on top of the 5 slashing.
You almost completely destroy this slurg. It's barely cut, holding together now, and the mud can't seem to re-knit itself as you cut it almost in half.
I think when he cuts into it, like, you know, he cuts into it and kind of twists to pull it out, but then the sword, like, flares, like, almost like he wasn't planning on doing that, and mud just starts, like, shooting all over the place.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens. It's almost like a little mini explosion inside of the mud. With that, we have come to Odie. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get the mud off me.
What is your plan for that, out of curiosity?
I'm pondering if using her wild shape to take on the starry form would get it off of her. That's not actually like an attack or anything, but
you could try.
I feel like the magic is, you know, surrounding her. So that's what she's going to do. She's going to use a wild shape.
Yep. When you turn your starry form on, the slurg explodes off of you. It slaps back onto the ceiling. In fact, why don't you roll a d6 for damage?
5 points of damage.
That's how much it takes as it's now back on the ceiling. You can see its hollow eyes looking down at you from the ceiling. Also, you can see the hollow eyes looking at you from the wall, Aramon, and it looks terrified. The one on the ceiling also looks terrified.
So I will Luminous Arrow.
You can totally Luminous Arrow this thing.
And I can't hit for crap because I just rolled an 8.
You're still just coughing out some of that mud out of your mouth. It explodes under the ceiling. Starlight falls down all around. Is that what happens when you shoot your luminous arrows? Probably what.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I like that.
The angry slurg that you have shot back to the ceiling, it turns around and attacks you once again, starts shooting spikes down at you. I got a 15.
15 is my armor class.
You take 6 points of damage.
Ooh.
Now I am actually going to intercept this one.
Is that no points of damage?
Yes, Aramon's sword darts in to intercept the spikes and turn them aside, and that is 12 points of damage that I would negate there.
Yeah, you totally negate that damage.
Wow.
He just blocks all of the strikes coming down at you. As you're doing that, the one on the wall near you that is mostly dead, it stabs out at you too. I only got a 12, though. It doesn't hit you. It is Monty's turn.
Monty is going to he's like, Odie is used to this. He's going to climb Odie, and from the top of her head, he's going to leap up and slash.
Love it.
At the one that's on the ceiling. You got a 19.
He strikes.
7 points of magical raccoon damage.
That one is also ripped to shreds by raccoon claws. It's not dead yet, but it looks terrible. It is also looking in disbelief and shock at all of this, these starlit powers and magical powers that are being blasted at them.
And I figure, like, Monty does the leap up, slash, and then, like, kind of raccoon parkour off the wall. And he will end up on Aramon's shoulder, and he can give the help action as a bonus action.
He certainly can. Monty doesn't suck.
No, he does not.
Aramon, it's your turn, and you have the help action from Monty.
All right. I'm going to swing two-handed again at the nearest slurg, and I think with this, when Monty does that slashing and then, you know, parkours off the wall and lands on my shoulder, I take the momentum of Monty and spin around to take the extra momentum of the raccoon riding my shoulder. And that is a 16.
That will strike the slurg, the wall slurg.
All right. And that is 11 slashing damage.
You can just tell me how it dies.
I think this thing is completely not ready to defend itself because this raccoon just slashed something and bounced off the wall and landed on my shoulder, and then I spin around in a circle. So I think it's actually, like, whatever its head-like appendage is at, it's looking in the wrong direction, and I just come around the back with the longsword two-handed and splatter it.
Yeah, it's just looking in disbelief as you splatter it. It's like, what is going... Oh, and it's just dead. This smudge just, like, splats onto the ground after that. Odie, it is your turn.
You are not welcome. And she got a 21 on that luminous arrow, so...
Yeah.
That's going to be 8 radiant damage.
Tell me how it dies as it goes... to you saying it's not welcome.
The starry radiance of the arrow hits it, explodes within it, and the mud just, like, it almost dissolves before it can even hit the ground.
And then you were left alone in the room with the magical broken ward in the middle of the room again.
This was Chapter 5 of The Heroes of Havel's Way, The Island. Angela Murray played Odie. Jared Rasher played Aramon. Christopher Snezak played everyone and everything else. Music and sound effects were from Storyblocks and Envato. Before we get out of here, I'd like to thank our patrons, Matea the Sorceress, the Polish Ogre, Doug Ross, and Victor Wyatt. Thank you so much for patroning the show. We greatly appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, go to Thaca with Advantage. That's patreon.com/THAC0WA. Thaca0WA. We are part of the Polygamers Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this show, then you can check out the Children of the Shroud actual play, which is edited very much like this one. With that, we will be back with Chapter 6 in 2 weeks. Until then, I hope you can find your own set of Starlight Claws.